Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and as we've been talking about today, HB 1421, a bill that would prohibit children from having anybody under the age of 18 from undergoing either hormonal or surgical interventions in order to change their gender or inhibit the development of their gender, like puberty blockers. That bill is advancing in the House of Representatives. You see the similar thing in the Senate. And very, very interesting conversation about this last week. We've been featuring clips from this. Very high drama, very high tension level with people saying, some very incendiary things to each other exactly about this bill.
There's really no reason to do this. There's really no reason to not let people change their gender on their birth certificate and live their lives as who they are. I'm going to tell you once again, as someone who encounters transgender minors on a day-to-day basis, you will kill them if you force them to detransition.
That's Will Larkins, a student, a senior at a high school in Florida. You have Olivia Solomon.
You are all being bullies if you pass this bill. You're being children's first bullies, and you are not allowing them to get treatment that is life-saving. You know this. If you vote against this, you're voting against these kids' lives.
And Max Fenning, this is a little bit longer, but I wanted you to hear the tone of some of the criticism.
I'm sure this tireless work to strip people of their rights every chance you get is so exhausting. Trust me, it is for us too. So I hope that we wake you up today. I hope you can look up from your phones when hundreds of people come up to you crying, begging to be seen as human beings, to be heard. I hope you look them in their teary, puffy, beet red eyes when you tell them that you know better about their lives than they do, when you pretend the science is on your side, when you know full well it is anything but, when you pretend that your hands are tied behind your back by the GOP zip ties and duct tape, while you drown in 2 feet of water and pretend to be lost at sea so you can look good in front of your melting wax figure of a governor that will ride a ghost ship circling the White House and never be permitted
to dock at its port.
I hope you have the audacity. You give us 1 minute to beg for mercy. If you're going to be a murderer, then act like it.
So just calm, ordinary discourse, you know, nothing over the top. But that's the point. People are extraordinarily worked up on this. And, you know, there are, as you might expect, two sides to this issue. January Littlejohn.
I am a mom and a licensed mental health counselor in Florida. Our daughter became confused about her sex in 2020 after three of her friends claimed transgender identities as well. We did not socially or medically transition her. Instead, we worked with a licensed counselor to help our daughter explore and resolve co-occurring issues, including low self-esteem and anxiety. We followed the path of watchful waiting, and our daughter has desisted.
Three of her friends. How much of a role does peer pressure or of conformity or of, you know, well, a lot of other people are doing it, so maybe it's okay for me, or maybe I have this issue too. You know, explaining the tripling of cases here in the United States or the 15,000% rise in cases in Sweden. By the way, countries in Europe are going the other way on this, that we're allowing it for very young ages, are now going the other way because they're recognizing that it has not been a good thing for their country and for their citizens, particularly. Again, January Littlejohn.
When a child is in distress or ill for any reason, we look to doctors and we trust them to give us all treatment options available. I have spoken to many parents in Florida, and that is not what is occurring. They are not being told about watchful waiting and that the majority of these children will resolve their distress without intervention. What parents are being told by doctors, oftentimes in front of the child, is that affirmation and medicalization is their only treatment option to avoid the impending suicide of their child. Suicide is told to parents as if it is a guaranteed outcome versus a risk factor.
Versus something that can be treated, as she is a healthcare, a mental health professional. And that's, it's often presented that way. You can either have a live daughter or a dead son. Like, that's the phraseology that gets used in presenting this, as opposed to, hey, here's the wide and broad range of options. This is Anthony Verducchio from Christian Family Coalition of Florida.
Look, children are beautiful as they are, and they can have happiness and find happiness in their own body. That's the message that we need to send out. All of you here who are supporting this bill are heroes. Thank you for the work that you do. You're extending mercy through legislation.
So what's the right way to think about this? Well, you know, I obviously have my opinion, but I have some sort of comparisons that I think might help. Okay? And more than just telling you, well, this is what Andrew thinks, I want to give you some thoughts about this subject that I think might just enhance your understanding of it, okay? I'll give you those in just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Not showing any problems on Blue Angel or Lily and the rest of 98. Looking pretty good, too, so far. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So here's some thoughts, okay? First of all, people on both sides believe they're doing good things for children. And in fact, one of the Democrats mentioned that and was very passionate about that. People on both sides really do believe that we're doing good for children. So the question is, what do we do when we disagree about what's good for children, right? What do we do when we disagree about whether a girl at the age of 14 can be put on hormone therapy and then have a double mastectomy upon her at 16 because she and her parents agree would be happier as a boy or to be have a body that that looks more like a boy's body? Is that something we should be having? Well, here are some comparison thoughts, okay? Because the argument that the bill sponsors say is that this is like child abuse, or it is child abuse, as they say. And it is cosmetic surgery for adults, therefore it shouldn't be covered by insurance. All right, so let's look at some of these comparison cases. And by the way, I think child abuse is a tricky analogy because child abuse is something you do to harm a child, okay, typically. You're not doing it in that child's interest, typically. And so in this case, it'd be if you are harmed, you're harming because you think it's the loving thing to do, right? Okay? But, for example, choices you might make about your bodies that children are not allowed to make. Tattoos. Can't get a tattoo until you're 16, and when you're 16 or 17, you have to have an adult's permission because kids can't be trusted to make that decision for themselves. Cosmetic surgery, same thing. Under the age of 18, you have to have parental consent. Although there's no age minimum, particularly, is my understanding. Typical 13 or 15, but it's not like I don't believe it's a legal thing. Piercings. Okay, anybody under 18 and have to be 16, get a legal guardian. Okay, minors have to have consent. Okay, and typically under 16, you have to have them with you. Okay, although let's be fair, people get piercings for infants, right? Legally, okay? Parents do make that choice for them. The consent age for sexual behavior is 18, unless you're with somebody who's close enough in age to you, a 16 or a 17-year-old with somebody who's under 24, 23, that's the Romeo and Juliet law, okay? So because a 15-year-old cannot lawfully make choices about his or her body sexually, they're not mature enough to make those kind of choices. Mental health, 13 years of age and older, don't need parental consent to get mental health. Do not need parental health consent. Parental rights. There are some times when we allow parents to prevent their children, for example, from getting medical care because of religious beliefs, right? Blood transfusions for Jehovah's Witnesses is sort of the famous example of that. And you can go on and say that we're just kind of confused about this stuff. We don't have a real clear delineation. But I'm going to give you two comparison cases, maybe three comparison cases, just to flesh out your thinking a little bit. First of all, when you say we're not going to let parents mutilate children's bodies. Okay, I hear you. I understand. I agree. But we allow circumcision for religious reasons. And in fact, for Christians, good doctrine teaches you don't have to be circumcised, right? That's a Jewish thing. So that's an elective religious procedure that parents are allowed to do to their children without their children's consent, right? Just as a be aware. And for people who are, in favor of this bill, and I am in favor of this bill, just for a second, think about this. What if the government came in and told you that you cannot spank your child? And threatened to take away your child for that and put you in jail for just spanking a child. How would you feel about that? Well, that's how they feel, parents feel, about you intervening in their child's health decisions, right? So I'm not saying that's the right way to think. I'm saying just for a second, think about it their way. Right? Okay. On the other side, if you believe that this is gender-affirming care, and I use that in sort of air quotes because I think that is a terribly biased way to talk about this. Okay, we would never think to allow children to, you know, make these kind of permanent decisions for themselves because it's temporary. And something like 80% of children who don't get interventions desist or go back or change their minds later. But I want to give you an analogy. Just this is going to be hard to hear, okay? And I'm giving you this analogy because I want you to understand if you favor these kinds of surgeries, okay, you favor mastectomies on teenagers because they're wanting to change their gender, okay? And I'm going to give you an example that is going to be difficult for you to hear, but I want you to take it seriously. Imagine you found yourself living in a society where teenagers who are depressed, who are so depressed that they feel like they should take their lives. I don't mean related to gender dysphoria. I just mean in general, okay? A very common problem we all know is way too common for teenagers. Imagine you find yourself in a society where 13, 14, 16, 17-year-olds want to take their lives. And imagine in this other society, they're allowed to. In fact, not just allowed to, but encouraged to, because their parents think this is kind. Their parents think this is good. And imagine in that, again, hypothetical world that we all find disgusting, okay? Imagine the medical professionals in that world think that, yeah, this is the right treatment for teenage depression. This is the right thing we do for people who are overwhelmed by an unwillingness or an uninterest in wanting to continue living. And then imagine in that world that the media, when talking about this practice of allowing teenagers to take their own lives or to have medically assisted suicide, they call it lifespan reduction affirming care. And they talk about it like you're doing a good thing for them. Now, I think that all of us would find that horrific. Now, you don't have to agree that that's the right comparison to this. But if you were in that world, what would you do? How would you talk about an issue where you're seeing this happen and you just kind of can't believe that this is the way your society is handling it? 437-1620, 437-1620. There's a lot to be said on both sides. There's a lot of failure to understand other people's perspective on this topic. And I think there's something for all of us to grow here on and to really take seriously how awful it must be for people who are alienated so badly from their own bodies that to them this makes sense. Because you've never experienced that. I've never experienced that. That must be horrible. And in that world where people have what is often a temporary pain like that, is the right answer to let them go through with permanent surgeries in order to change their body? Or is the right thing to do for the state to come in and say, you know what, at least wait until you're 18? 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation will host their very first Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event Saturday, April 15th from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Five Flag Speedway. We'll have crawfish plates, hamburgers, hot dogs, there will be a car show, and we'll show the movie Cars on our giant screen. So come on out to Five Flag Speedway Saturday, April the 15th and support the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. For more information, go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation Facebook page. See you there.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
That's that Loverboy song that is like the best song they've ever made.
And that hardly anyone knows.
But nobody knows. Damn. That's exactly right. It was a hit. I mean, it was an A-side of a 45. Ask your parents.
But, you I know what that means. I'm too young.
That's right.
Yeah.
726 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, in case you're unaware, we do podcast the show.
Yeah.
Okay. So if the stuff that I've been saying this morning about transgenderism is useful to you, the podcasts are available at News Radio 92.3. But in general, like Candy Podcast, all of the interviews and all of the show hours. So if you want to listen at a different time of day or, you know, whatever, or on the app, which you can download the News Radio Pensacola app, it's very easy. And then you can listen to the podcast on your phone anywhere you go. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look, it looks like everything's fine. I mentioned the Atmore cut off a little bit earlier, and it looks like it doesn't look like an accident, but maybe a vehicle crash. There was a little bit of a roadblock there earlier, 95A and 196 in Molino. Use caution there, caution wherever you are, as you know. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There is widespread devastation after tornadoes in Mississippi and Alabama claimed at least 26 lives. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves was joined by state and federal officials yesterday as they pledged support. He also thanked the Biden administration for rolling forward a federal state of emergency. Representative Mike Gallagher says last week's testimony from TikTok's CEO has increased the likelihood that Congress will take some action. Gallagher tells ABC News that national security concerns surrounding TikTok have united Democrats and Republicans, and the world's oldest airplane manufacturing plant was damaged in a fire. It was at the Wright Brothers factory in Dayton, Ohio. Firefighters spent more than 12 hours there over the weekend putting out hot spots, with the roof being pretty severely damaged, it looks like, from photos here.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that and hate to see that damage done. That's just not very cool. 728 here on News Radio 92.3. You're speaking about that horrible tornado. There is... I'll just warn you, this makes me cry just about every time I hear it. This is really hard to hear, but it's a really, I mean, it's just an honest moment in media. There was the weather forecaster who was covering the tornadoes in Mississippi, especially the one outside of Amory, Mississippi. Here was kind of the setup, and you'll hear the clip.
Now to an emotional moment from our Tupelo, Mississippi affiliate. Their chief meteorologist overwhelmed as he realized the small town of Amory was just moments away from a direct hit by a powerful tornado on Friday.
North side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh, man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen.
Just
it hits your heart, doesn't it? My gosh, that's so awful. And you've been in that position.
Yes,
you've been in that position.
Just nothing else you can do. And I know there's kind of this idea, like in the news, you don't get too personal, don't let your feelings show. I don't know about you, but I want the people that I listen to be people. You know, and I appreciate that kind of candor. There are times when, you know, just to kind of to go on like nothing really, I mean, and look, for some people, maybe they wouldn't have had that. Maybe most people wouldn't have that reaction in his circumstance. I put it this way. That weathercaster will have an audience for life because of that one moment that they will trust him, respect him, and care about him as a member of their community, who cared so much about their community that that's all he could do at that moment. To me, that's greatness in broadcasting, not a flaw, as some people perhaps would describe it. But, what a moment. David has your news coming up after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's tornado damage in Georgia and more potentially dangerous weather in the forecast across the southeast today. Mississippi was hit hardest by at least 20 tornadoes confirmed Friday night. Governor Tate Reeves on Fox.
These are close-knit, small communities where everyone's family or a friend. And so those who lost their life are known by everyone in the community, so there's certainly heartbreak.
There are at least 25 storm deaths in Mississippi, one in Alabama. A failed bank has a buyer, a bank based in North Carolina.
Silicon Valley Bank is going to be scooped up by First Citizens in a $72 billion deal. And the Silicon Valley Bank collapse appears to have really rattled confidence in the economy. So soon, lawmakers are hoping to send President Biden a bill to regulate banks further.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3. Right now, cloudy skies, 73 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. Escambia County deputies looking for an 18-year-old man on homicide charges. This is after a fatal shooting that happened on Mission Road over the weekend. Deputies say they're looking for 18-year-old Nathaniel Cunningham Jr. They say he's considered armed and dangerous. That deadly shooting again happened on Mission Road. Deputies say a woman there was found dead with a gunshot wound. The victim has not yet been identified. Cunningham wanted on homicide, possession of a weapon by a felon, and probation violation charges. The sheriff's office has posted a photo of Cunningham on their page. We've also got that photo shared on both the News Radio website and Facebook page as well. If you have any information, contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. Rescue crews found the body of missing boater Pete Griffin over the weekend. The Fish and Wildlife Commission says Griffin's body was found in waters near NAS Pensacola. Search efforts had been underway since Griffin's boat capsized last Tuesday. Crews from the FWC, Escambia Search and Rescue, the Cajun Navy, and local volunteers as well had all been looking for any sign of Griffin in the waters. Another man was on the boat with Griffin when his boat capsized last week. That man survived and made it to NAS Pensacola. Two people were hurt in a crash at West 9 Mile and Beulah Roads over the weekend. Florida Highway Patrol says both a 17-year-old and a 74-year-old man had to be taken to Sacred Heart Hospital after that crash. The 74-year-old man was reportedly pinned in his vehicle and had to be extracted right now. No word on their current conditions. Well, there's a big turnout at an event over the weekend to meet the sculptor of that new 10-foot-tall Chappie James statue that's going to stand at the General Chappie James Memorial Plaza. Ed Dwight came to town to meet the local community.
This is probably the largest, most dedicated, most inspirational, if you will.
That is Ed Dwight, of course, Air Force veteran, also the sculptor. And he talked with Channel 3, said he was just amazed by his welcome here in Pensacola. The General Chappie James Memorial Foundation says they've got everything gathered up, the flagpole, the aircraft, and now the sculpture that's going to go in the plaza. Now they just need to bring all of those elements together. An Atmore man looking at some felony charges after allegedly trying to flee from deputies on Pensacola Beach. Deputies say it all started as a traffic stop when 25-year-old Stanley Maliak Griffin is accused of making an illegal U-turn. Deputies were patrolling on Via de Luna. They say they tried to stop Griffin, and he took off and pulled into a nearby hotel parking lot. Deputies say when they caught up to him, they also found open containers of alcohol. He was arrested. He's now charged with felony fleeing and eluding, among other charges, and he's since been released on $2,500 bond. An Alabama man has died after a police chase ended with a crash in Baldwin County over the weekend. Now, this happened south of Bay Minette on Highway 31. Alabama troopers say 39-year-old Huntsville man Zachary Cook was running from law enforcement when his vehicle crashed and rolled over. Troopers say Cook was not wearing a seatbelt. He died at the scene of that crash. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency continues their investigation. Right now, 735, it's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Taking a look at our roads. Good news is we're not showing a whole lot of slowdowns right now. We do see one accident in Molino, 95A and Barano Park Road. I am showing a roadblock. It doesn't look very long, though. Certainly use caution. Traffic tips 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy, for that update. Now look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
It is going to be a very humid day today. This morning, fog will be possible. Showers and thunderstorms possible as we go into the late morning and into the afternoon. Some storms could have some gusty winds. Temperatures today will be nice and warm. We are going to be warming up near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Rain chance will continue for Tuesday with a higher chance of rain in the evening. 80% chance of rain overall. Tuesday high near 75. Overnight drop near 53. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is cloudy right now. 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and 73 also in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Parts of Twitter's source code used to run the social media platform were leaked online. In a court filing Friday in California, Twitter requested that GitHub, a Microsoft-owned internet hosting service for software development, remove the code from the site on which it was posted. GitHub indicated on its website that it has since complied with Twitter's request to take down the post. Twitter said the leak included the proprietary source code for Twitter's platform and internal tools. The platform also revealed the code was shared without permission. Three companies have announced plans to open distribution centers in West Columbia, South Carolina, continuing an industrial growth spurt for Lexington County. The state announced incoming distribution centers for Cooperative Electric Energy, Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits, and Mattress Warehouse. The project's expected to create several hundred new jobs. On Wall Street, futures pointing to strong gains at the open. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Happy Monday. Woohoo! You made it through the weekend to a Monday. so well. Hey, you know, the skate park is getting ready to open very soon. May 2nd, I think, is the opening day. I'm super excited about that. Underneath I-110, right across from the Pensacola Police Department, nestled in behind the community garden there. And Had a chance to look at it late last week and talk to John Schell, the Upward Intuition founder.
So we are at the almost there Blake Doyle Skate Park. We're about a month and a half out from the opening with John Schell, the founder of Upward Intuition. John, how are you feeling?
I feel really good. I just feel super grateful to be here right now. It's a little bit surreal.
So I'm looking at some of the features of this park, and I got to tell you, the first thing that I'm, honestly, it's a weird one, but I'm the most happy about is the stuff that's overhead. I've been to parks all over the country that are in the summer brutally hot. You've got shade and rain protection here year-round for this structure. That's pretty great, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's I mean, just from, obviously, it gets really hot here in Florida, so to have that shade and to protect the park, too. Yeah, I couldn't ask for a better location, especially being, you know, in downtown Pensacola.
So some of the features here, you mentioned that there's a kind of a bunny slope area. I don't think I've seen that very often, like the kiddie pool sort of thing. But tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a kind of a beginner area. And actually, the Gannett Foundation, we applied for an ACT grant, a Community Thrives grant, back in 2017. And that was based on a three-minute video we made and then some online voting and donations. And in the video, we actually used my friend Andy's song from his band, Manchester Orchestra. The Silence is the song we used. But we won the grant. We got $100,000 for it. So that Gannett Foundation grant is going towards that beginner's area over there. And so it's going to be a great place for kids and, I mean, adults alike to kind of learn how to drop in and skate, you know, flat ground. Obviously, if you're a beginner, you don't want to go straight to the handrail, you know, or the granite ledge there is called a hubba. You're not going to want to go straight to the Pro Bowl. So the bowl over there, you can actually roll into. You don't have to drop in. And then the quarter pipe over there is only about 2 feet. So that's going to be a great zone for people that are kind of new to skateboarding.
I felt very comfortable in that portion of the skate park.
Yeah.
It's good. We've also got, and I love this design element where it looks to me like what you've built is skate elements around an amphitheater design where you could have a band on a stage and people watching from several tiers of stairs. Is that the idea here?
Yeah, that's the idea. So this section right here is kind of officially the amphitheater, but really the whole park is kind of tiered. There's several tiers in the park, so the idea is that kind of from wherever you can look down at the stage. And the stage is it's a loose replica of the West LA Courthouse stage, and so that's kind of an iconic skate spot. So it's not just a stage where we can have DJs and music and things like that. It's also one of the features. And so the Kugelman Family Foundation, the amphitheater and stage area, they made possible with a really generous donation.
I was also struck by, first of all, the size. I mean, this is a really big skate park by my assessment.
But Rick.
I was also struck by how you have, you know, in skate parks where you go, you see a lot of very common features, right? Half pipes, quarter pipes, bowls. You see a lot of very standard things, opposing ramps and things like that. Here, there's just a lot of oddball features. And I mean that in a good way. Like, there's all kinds of unusual little angles and crevices and nooks that people can play with, right?
Yeah, I think skate park design has really come a long way in the past several years. Our designer, his name's Tito Parada. He designed a few years ago the Lot 11 skate park in Miami. You know, a lot of pro skaters kind of say they might call that the best skate park in the world.
Wow.
And so this skate park is influenced, you know, somewhat by Lot 11. And, you know, we really wanted to have something for everybody, and we wanted it to be able to flow well, have plenty of space between the elements.
Yeah.
And then also be able to start, you know, you can start in that corner back there and you can make your way all the way down to the bottom of the skate park really without having to push if you didn't want to. And so I think that's a little bit unique, is being able to have the opportunity to do such long lines, is what they're called in skating.
Did you build this with any anticipation of bike users? Because a lot of times, you know, the skaters versus the BMX kids or whatever, are they as welcome here as the skaters will be?
That's really for the city to determine, but my understanding is that the warranty with Bear Contractors and Evergreen Skate Parks, if bikes came and used the park, the warranty would be voided.
I don't
believe bikes are going to be allowed.
Okay. And then I know you talked about the pro skaters, and you know, that's a lot of the friends that you have. You guys have some events coming up here that you're already planning for, right? The May 2nd is the opening, but then what do you have coming after that?
Yeah, so May 2nd is the ribbon cutting with you know, the city and the mayor and so forth. But we've got this space permitted for June 10th, and we have the New Balance team. They have really an incredible skate team. Andrew Reynolds, Skater of the Year. Jamie Foy, Skater of the Year. Thrasher Magazine, Skater of the Year. They're going to come out and do a demo, and we really want to show them a great time while they're here in Pensacola. We're also planning let me backtrack just a second. We're planning on having a musical, a music component too on the June 10th event. So we're going to book some bands. And then we're also planning an event for March. We're going to do it either the weekend before or the weekend after Tampa Pro, which is kind of an iconic skateboard contest that's been going for 30 years. So a lot of the skateboard industry is based out on the West Coast. So what's unique about Tampa Pro is a lot of the pros that don't do contests, they come to Tampa Pro and participate in that. So we want to kind of leverage that and do something when a lot of those guys are in town and figure out how to show them a great time and you know, treat them well, and hopefully they realize, you know, what an awesome place this is, and you know, we can be standing here looking back in 20 years and we will, you know, have had, that'll be the inaugural event. You know, that's the idea. We want to create something special and a special skate event, but also have you know, the music component around that as well. And so, yeah, having these guys help with that is huge.
No, it's definitely fantastic. We're going to pause the interview right there with John Schell from Upward Intuition about the new skate park. Get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right. And not showing a lot. There is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, Barano Park, and it looks like 95A showing an accident this morning. I don't see much of a roadblock. It says there's a roadblock, and certainly if you know different, let us know. A little slow and at the Atmore cutoff. That's near the school, though. It looks like a lot of kids being dropped off at school, so certainly watch for that area. Usual areas of congestion. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to finish up the interview with John Schell about the skate park.
Last question. I know that over the years, a lot of people have promised, political leaders have promised that they will come and skate at the ribbon cutting. Do we have a planned event for politicians on wheels, a number count of how many elected officials are willing to come put their feet where their mouth is?
I haven't talked to any. I know Doug Underhill. He was a big one that.
Yep.
I think him and Mayor Ashton Hayward.
Yep,
was.
Yep.
I think he used to actually have a mini ramp in his backyard, from what I understand. So I'm curious to see his skills.
We got some younger guys on city council. Yeah. You know, I mean, we could see some stuff happen.
Yeah.
And the
Jared
way.
Moore.
Yeah, Jared Moore, Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
The way I hear you explain it is if anybody wants to come skate that day, you'll help them find a skateboard, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We got plenty of skateboards.
Well, John, congratulations. I know it's a long project, long time coming, but we're really close to the end finish line. And thanks for all the work over the years. And extra appreciation to all of the citizens who worked on this and campaigned and gave and supported it. I know it wasn't just you. You just are kind of the face of it. But thank you for organizing those forces and bringing this to fruition.
Yeah, thank you for all your support, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been a supporter of this project from early on. You know, I just thought it was kind of a weird gap in the offerings that Pensacola had, that we didn't have a good skate park, that there were sort of ones peripherally located around, like in Gulf Breeze or whatever. But, you know, the Gull Point was the best skate park in the area. That's crazy. So it's great to finally see this come. And I really genuinely do believe that having it underneath I-110, you know, the noise is not great, but the shade is fantastic. Like, that is a really, really nice advantage of that location. 7:48 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're building something, maybe not quite skate park size, you know, but if you're, or maybe you are, I mean, I don't know. Pensacola Hardware, they've got your stuff, small stuff, big stuff, repairs. If you're building a house or a building, you know, that's really their bread and butter, is working with contractors. In fact, I always like to say that, you know, they've been around since 1851, like before the Civil War, meaning that if you go walk around, say, downtown Pensacola, and you see a building that's 30 years old, They might have had a hand in that. You see a building that's 80 years old. They had a hand in that. Like, the older it gets, the more certain you can be that Pensacola Hardware supplied it. You know, it's a building that's 120 years old. I'm sure they had a hand in supplying the supplies to do that. So the point is they've been around. And not just that they've been around, but I mean the oldest business in Florida, but that there's this kind of institutional love of and knowledge of the construction trades. And really, they love helping people make good decisions and do things properly and build stuff because they know the importance of it. You know, it's, I mean, they provide shelter for people by providing the supplies. Anyway, so they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since before the Civil War, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit, new PCI. See dealer for details.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming into an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Beret Jewelers.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Here I come to save the day.
San Diego State looking for the win. Butler, get it in. A rope, hands it to Trammell. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Trammell drives. He's fouled. Darion Trammell will go to the free throw line.
Oh, man. Brutal. You thought for sure, because he missed the shot, you thought it was a tie game. It was going to go to overtime, and, you know, basically Creighton would survive. But San Diego State, he gets fouled. He did. He got pushed making the shot, so he misses. Then he misses the first one. Then he gets the second one. So with, like, a second and a half left, Creighton takes the guy who had played football, and he was a quarterback. And so he's the guy that they put on the end line to – basically, throw it as far down the court as you can, and we're going to hope for the best.
Shireman, the southpaw, tosses deep. The ball is knocked up in the air, and it's over. The officials are holding off for a moment to check the clock.
Weirdest, most anticlimactic end to a game ever because the officials are like, wait, whoa, there could be still time on the clock. There could be still time on the clock. And then they come back and they're like...
They've determined it's over.
That's it.
It's over. For the first time in school history, San Diego State is going to the Final Four. A heartbreaking loss for Creighton.
Yeah, and you had this all over the place. FAU advanced over K-State. Kansas State, who never got their last shot off. Like, they just kind of...
Kansas State's out?
Yeah, they just lost
to
FAU. FAU is the number 9 seed, and they won their first time. So we got two. Miami advanced over Texas, which was... Miami was losing most of that game, and then they came back and roared back at the end. So Miami is in the Final Four. Florida Atlantic University is in the Final Four. San Diego State University is in the Final Four. And then was it UConn that won by 30 points? That was a super blowout over Xavier. 7:55 News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Gosh, all my basketball schools are out. Look at that.
It's like everybody who did a bracket.
I'm saying, man. San Diego State, really?
Yeah.
That's Brent's school.
Go Aztecs.
Yeah. So, okay. 95A and Barano Park Road showing a vehicle crash with a roadblock this morning. Use caution there. Use caution, of course, wherever you are. You know that 29. Other than that, not showing any delays. 98 Claire from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. General Chappie James Bridge, not showing any delays right now. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's a new development on the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. It was revealed last night that their competitor, First Citizens Bank, is buying out its rival. That means all of the 17 Silicon Valley Bank branches that closed will be reopening today under a new name. Protests breaking out and leaders speaking out in Israel after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired his defense minister. Hundreds of protesters have been outside of Netanyahu's home in Jerusalem. And a Manhattan grand jury hearing former President Trump's hush money payment case expected to reconvene today. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says New York is ready for anything that could happen in the event of an indictment. Last week, there were reportedly bogus bomb threats called in. And on Friday, officials say a suspicious powder was found in an envelope mailed to District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, you made a mention there, something that stood out to me as well with the acquisition of the Silicon Valley Bank. 17 branches for a bank of that size, volume of deposits?
They had a very specialized...
Oh, right, you know, I know, right? But it just struck me as like, and I had heard that before, and I'm like, only 17 branches for an enormous bank? Like, you know, but that's, we'd never heard of them because they only exist in that one, really, that one little place where they did a lot of work with the tech sector. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we got word over the weekend. To me, this is terrible news for the city of Milton, but it's probably good news for Randy Jorgensen. Randy Jorgensen, the city manager, who is a fabulous city manager. And, you know, he's the closest thing to Ron Swanson I know of in real life. But yet, he's somebody who really cares about government service. Like, imagine if Ron Swanson believed in government work. Like, that kind of, you know, just...
The world would be a better place.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's fabulous. Anyway, and so he's retiring September 1st. He announced that he's going to stay on until September 1st so he can find a new person. Here's the challenge you have, okay? Number one, this pitchfork posse. They managed to get Dan Shebler out, okay, at Santa Rosa County, and they thought that was a big win for them. And look, DeVan Cook has been fantastic, okay? And when somebody leaves, you know, maybe somebody better even comes along. I understand that's always possible, okay? But they hate Randy because Randy has been an advocate for the wastewater treatment plant. He's right. They're wrong. He tells the truth, and they don't always, okay? So... it's annoying because they're dancing in the streets. Like, they think this is it. You know, this is fantastic, finally. And if we can get somebody in who will, you know, bow to us, then, you know, maybe we can. The problem you're going to have at the city of Milton, in my opinion, okay, is the only people that are going to be worth hiring that are going to try to get that job are already in Milton and are, you know, already inside, okay? I would expect Ed Spears. Okay, he's the assistant. I would expect him to apply, and he's very qualified. He would be a great city manager. I can't imagine anybody from the outside worth hiring that would apply for that job, because if you watch the last couple of months' worth of city council meetings, why on earth would you want to work in that environment? The council is dysfunctional. the yelling and screaming and the attacks from the citizens, it's craziness. I don't begrudge Randy for retiring at 65. I just don't know who wants that job who comes from the outside. So we'll see.